But sometimes we come in and we just focus in on what we're doing, and we're not even paying attention to the people around us. And so I want us just to notice who's around you. Listen, they're probably going to be sitting very close to where you are right now next Sunday. So it'd be good if you just sometime this Sunday, next Sunday, you just said, hello, my name is, and I'm going to see you next week. And you just become friends right there on your aisle, all right? So this morning we're starting a brand new series called Margin. Now, this series is going to be pointed at you and me. When I came in here this morning, I was kind of running late. I had several things I was responsible for this morning. I'm running around, and I got all the way up here to the front, and I got my Bible, and I got my iPad, and I'm ready. And then I realized I don't have a microphone. And so I run back out and I grab a microphone, and then I realize I don't have batteries, and I run to the other side of the building and grab batteries, and then I realize that I'm preaching to me this morning, all right? This message is all for me. I'm just going to let y'all hang out while I preach it to me, all right? Okay. Margin is the thing that allows us to live our life in a healthy manner, because you are busy and I am busy. You're spending a lot of money, and I'm spending a lot. Now, listen, a lot is different to all of us, all right? You may be spending a lot more to be, but I'm still spending a lot of money, all right? I got to make sure, I got to watch it, that I'm not overspending. I have to make sure I'm not overscheduling. I have to make sure that I'm not overdoing it in any area of my life. Margin gives me the time and the money to be healthy, all right? Now we all know what a sheet of paper looks like, and the teacher taught you don't write outside the red line. That's outside the margin. Why? Because there is a chance the word is going to be too long, and you're going to run off the edge of the page, and you're going to get counted off for misspelling, like you forgot some letters at the end of the word. Margin shows up in all areas of our life, though. When you get in your car to drive home today, there's going to be white lines on the road and yellow lines on the road. And you know which yellow line and white line to stay between. If you get over the yellow line into oncoming traffic, it's not going to be healthy for very long. It's built for margin. If you get over the line on the right side, it's going to be unhealthy for you at some point, because there's built-in margin. Now, every one of us understands this in our everyday life. We understand we have to leave some money at the end of the month. We understand we need some time at the end of the day or before our appointment or whatever that is. We understand that, and yet sometimes we just get overloaded. We accept more than God wanted us to accept, more responsibility, more stuff to do, and then we became unhealthy. And we find ourselves agitated. We find ourselves on edge. We're a little bit angry at the people around us because they're not hurrying as much as we're hurrying. Somebody say amen. Yeah. You know, if you've ever been on vacation to a mountain or where they have a cliff or something, they have the cliff. You go to the Grand Canyon and it's 1,000 miles down there. Not really, but it looks like it. And on the edge, there is a rail. And the rail says, stay behind here because you're not smart enough to not fall off. We don't trust you to not fall off. So we're going to put a rail right back here, and you can just pretend that you're looking directly over the cliff. That's the margin they're building in for dumb people, all right? When you and I live our lives on the edge, it eventually becomes unhealthy. Now, I want you to do something with me this morning. I want you to keep your eyes open. Don't close. You cannot close your eyes for the next 15 seconds. And we're just going to go complete silence for a minute, for 15 seconds, not even a minute. I don't even trust you for a minute, all right? We're going to go complete silence for 15 seconds. All right, let's do it. Now say something. Go ahead, do it. Some of you were holding your phone like, I think it's vibrating. I probably ought to check Facebook. I probably ought to look at my bank account. I mean, we hate downtime. We hate it. What do you do when you come in? Let me just flip on Netflix and just let it run in the background. We just want some noise, right? Not really going to watch it, or maybe I will. We get to that point when we are completely overloaded. We say things like, I just can't get it all done. I can't take it anymore. I can't catch up. There's just not enough time. There's just not enough. It's just too much. You know, the average person works 2.5, or sleeps 2.5 hours less than we did 100 years ago. 2.5 hours less. Every night. So we're missing several hundred hours of sleep that people 100 years ago got. Not only that, our average work week in America is longer than it was in 1960. You're working more now than you would have in 1960. An average office worker has 36 hours of work piled up on your desk to do right now. The average office worker. The average office worker takes 3 hours a day, just or a week, just to figure out what he needs to do next. Life is so busy. So I just want to encourage you this morning, just take a breath. This is your chance to do nothing for the next few minutes, just to do nothing. Now, we like to live close. We like to live right on the edge, and there's probably a lot of reasons we do that. Now, margin is that extra space in our life, that extra money, that extra time that we get when we live life in a healthy way. Instead of cramming everything in and pushing life to the limits and spending all our money, and we squeeze out everything we can, and we do it because, at least in part, because there's a fear of missing out. What if I don't do this? What if I don't let my kids play Little League 96 days in a row? I don't want to make my kid, I don't want to do something that's going to damage him by telling him he can't play baseball. I know, it's getting close. We'll just love me anyway. We're going to work through this together. The fact is, we all have limits. Everybody has limits. We have to decide, are we going to go by and we going to accept the limits that the world has for us, the culture has for us, or are we going to go by the limits that God has set for us? Margin is here's a quick definition. Margin is the space between my load and my limits. That space, and it's a very small space between what I'm carrying and where I will break. I saw a picture when I was in grade school, and I've never forgotten it. It was of a man carrying a refrigerator on his back. Dumb move, all right? Carrying a refrigerator on his back. And he was having a hard time carrying the refrigerator, and his next step was just a little bit too far. Now, for all of you squeamish people, plug your ears right here. His leg broke backwards. I know, it's awful. You ought to see the picture. Look it up on Google later. All right. Don't do that. His leg broke because the capacity, his carrying capacity, had been exceeded. He was trying to do more than he was capable of doing. We're running so fast. We're so busy. It's okay to run, but we got to be careful that we don't start running too fast. It's like when you were a kid and you were going down the hill in your bicycle and you're like, this is great, I'm going faster, this is awesome, faster, this is great, until the front wheel starts wobbling. You ever do that one? And then you don't know how to get it back. And then you're at the hospital and there's stitches involved and your bicycle's been trashed and you're never going to get to ride fast again. It was fun riding fast until it was too fast. I love the story about the little girl who was on her way to church one Sunday morning. She had on her frilly dress and patent leather shoes. She's running and running. She didn't want to be late, and she starts praying, God, please help me not be late. Please help me not be late. And about that time, she falls. skins up her shoes, skins her knee, tears her dress. She jumps up and she brushes herself and all off and she says, God, please help me not be late, but don't push me again either. Some of us are just, we're just everything we got. It's just more than we can handle. We get to the end of the month and there's no money left. And we get to the end of the day and there's not enough time to get it done. And we wonder why we're unhappy and why we're unhealthy. It's because we don't have margin in our lives. We live without margin. Watch what happens when we live without margin. Three things. There's a lot of stuff. We're going to focus on these three. My stress goes up. If I'm living with no margin in my life, my stress goes through the roof. If I'm running late to every appointment, if I'm wasting money at the end of the at the beginning of the month, then I'm struggling at the end of the month. I'm stressed out. I'm just worried and angry and fearful, and all of that stuff starts to well up in my life, and other people start to see it, and they ask questions like this, are you okay? Everything good? And you're like, yeah, why? I'm good. A little veins popping out on the side of your head. I'm good, I'm good. Other people see it way before we see it. Because here's what we do. We have Superman complex. You are not Superman. I am not Superman. We cannot fly. We cannot leap tall buildings. We're just human, and we're going to talk about that one. So when my margins decrease, my stress increases. And also, when my margins decrease, when I'm living on a little bit of margin, I just focus more on me. I spend too much time thinking about me. And here's the third one. When my margins get too small, my relationships start to suffer. My relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids, my relationship with friends. I stop answering the phone when my friends call because I'm too busy for friendship. That's how I know my life has no margin. If I'm avoiding the phone from people who love me that are calling me and I just don't have time for them, I don't have enough margin in my life. And all that's important, but the relationship that matters the most is we don't have time for God. We're living with no margin in our life, and our mental capacity is just gone because we are so overwhelmed. You're living without margins in your life when your stress goes up and when you're focusing on yourself and your relationships are no longer important. Now, at times in my life, that's the picture that I have to be careful of. That I'm not getting things out of whack. That I am living with enough margin in my life. Without margins, I can't listen to people. Without margins, I can't relax at the end of the day because my to-do list is still a mile long. I'm too stressed. Now watch this. When my margins have been reduced to an unhealthy level, I'm not available to God. I'm not available to listen to God. I'm not available to do what God is asking me to do because I'm just focusing on me. So what can I do? What can I do? What does the Bible tell me? You could pick up a self-help book on Kindle or Barnes & Noble this afternoon, and they give you a lot of good stuff. We're just going to look at what does the Bible say. When we're living our life and we're out of control, now you're not a bad person. You're not living in sin. It's not going to send you to hell, but it will make my life less effective here on earth with the people I love the most and with what God has called me to do because I'm trying to live with no margin. So what can I do about it? Here's number one. Accept my human limitations. I got to accept that I got limitations. Look at Psalm 119:96. Even perfection has its limits. I am not perfect, okay? And you're probably not perfect. and look at the person beside you and say, "You're not either." You know why that's funny? The only reason that's funny is because you're looking at somebody and saying, "You're not perfect," when you're thinking, "Boy, I know I ain't." Whew. Man, oh man. Even perfection has its limits. God created you and me with limits. Why would he do that? Well, I think one reason at least is so we will need him. So we will turn to him. Instead of walking around through life thinking that we have it figured out, your limits will show up one day. My sweet little mama told me before she died, "Son, if you burn the candle at both ends, it meets in the middle." Got to live with margin in my life. A candle is not designed to burn at both ends. It's designed to burn at one end. Our lives have to have margin. Here's the second thing. I need to ask myself, what drives me to overload my life? Why am I doing this? Why am I almost late to every appointment? Why is there a fight at my house every Sunday morning trying to get everybody to church on time? Why is it that I am living on the edge all the time? Why am I doing this? Look at Ecclesiastes 4 and 8. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother. He's saying he has nobody to leave his money to. Yet he works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, "Who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. What drives me? It's different for everybody. What is driving me to live like this? Why do I refuse? Why do I feel like I can say, "All right, I'm going to watch one more episode tonight. That'll put me to bed at 12:30, and if I sleep till 6:30, I'll get 6 hours, and I should be okay tomorrow." But you know at 12:30, you're going to say, "Just one more episode. It'll be 1:30. I think I can do it on 5 hours. I'll get a nap in the car at lunch." Why do we do this to ourselves? Is it just enjoyment? And then we're tired for 3 days and we're cranky and we're mad, all because we needed to find out who shot who on the next episode. It'll be there tomorrow. It'll be there. Why am I doing that? Here's number three. Expect problems and delays. I got to build in problems into my time and money for problems. You want to start a fight at home? Let the car break down when you're broke. I told you not to hit another curb. I told you. I'm filing divorce papers because I got to expect problems are coming. Delays are coming. John 16:33. This is Jesus talking. He said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." Jesus said that to us. In this life, you will have trouble. It's coming. So, I've done it both ways, where I didn't have any money in the bank and the car broke down. And I've done it when I did have money in the bank and the car broke down. It's a lot more fun when you got some money in the bank and the car breaks down. I don't like writing the check or swiping the card. I hate it, as a matter of fact. I don't like spending money. But if I got to do it one way or the other, I'll choose the margin any day of the week. Proverbs 22:3 says, "A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." I'm going to read that one again and slow it down a little bit. A wise person foresees, he looks ahead, and he sees danger, and he takes precautions. He prepares ahead. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. So I've got to expect some problems and expect some delays. And here's the fourth one. If I want to live with margin, I got to add buffer space in my schedule and my budget. Got to add some buffer space. My family knows that I'm kind of cheap. And so if we're taking a vacation or we're going to see family and it requires buying plane tickets, I'm buying the earliest possible plane ticket in the day. You know what? Because those are the cheapest. And all it requires is that we all get out of bed at 3 a.m. So here's what I do. I say, okay, the flight's leaving at 6:30. All right, we're going to need 30 minutes to get to the airport. All right, we'll need an hour at the airport. That puts us at 5 o'clock. And they think we're leaving at 5. And I say, okay, and we're leaving at 4 o'clock. And they go, what? We don't need that much. We're going to build some space in because we're saving some money. And we're going to get our tails out of bed and we're going to get there on time. All right? It's not fun. It's not fun. But there have been times in my life when I just finish stuff right at the last minute and run in and I'm stressed out because I'm right on time. There's nothing like trying to get to the airport when you're just a little bit later than you expected to be, and everybody in the car is angry. And everybody's wondering who's going to explode first. And everybody's saying it's going to be okay. And that terminology will set you over the edge. It's going to be okay. We should have been leaving. So you know how it goes. All right, I'm going to stop there. I got to build in some space. Let me ask you this question. What if you decided to leave for work 10 minutes earlier than normal? What if you just said, I'm just going to get to work 10 minutes early. And if I have to, I'm just going to sit in my car and I'm going to turn on my worship music and I'm going to take a 7-minute nap instead of running in and hoping, kaboom, I can hit the clock right at the last second. What if we built that in? Would it give us some more peace? Just a little more margin. Genesis 2:2-3 says this. I'm going to skip the first verse and go to this one. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. Now, let's stop there. On the seventh day, God had finished all of his work. 6 days he worked, he created the earth. On the seventh day, the Bible said, God rested. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. He gave you and me the example. Did God have to have the rest? No, he's God. He's putting the example out for you and me. There needs to be some time built into our schedule that is just unplanned. It's an unproductive time. Most of us are thinking, okay, if we get out of church at 11:30, we can get to the restaurant, then we can go buy groceries, and then we can go here, and we can go there, we're going to get all this stuff done this afternoon. Okay, I'm there. I understand. I'm not picking on you. Same way. And yet, the Bible tells us to take a Sabbath, an unplanned day, just an unproductive day. In the Old Testament, they would, on the seventh year, they would leave the land laying fallow. It was unproductive. Why? They're just going to let it rest. We're just going to let the land rest. Every one of us has been created to need some downtime, some unplanned time. When I don't fill it up with everything, but I start my life, my day, and I say, today is just a day of rest. That's so foreign to most of us. I'm just going to relax. Now you got to take care of the kids. Cook something for the kids. It'll be all right, all right? Feed the kids. Do the stuff you have to do. But there's got to be some time in our schedule. Because watch this. The faster you go in life, the more margin you need. Some of us are speeding through life and we got little bitty margins and we run off the road all the time. And we're unhealthy all the time. These little accidents all the time because we're going so fast that when we hit a turn, we can't make the turn. We just can't quite get there. If you're going to go fast, you got to build a lot of margin in your life. It's okay to be a high-powered executive type. It's okay to fill your day, but make sure that the margin is built in. Here's number 5. Prune my activities from time to time. I have to, sometimes, I just got to prune my activities. every now and then just look at my schedule and say, why am I doing this? Why is this on our schedule? Why are we going here? Why are we doing that? If you don't have time to get it all done, it means one of two things. It means that you're doing something God didn't want you to do, or you're doing it the wrong way. My mom used to say this, if you're too busy to take care of business, you're too busy. I'm just picking on us all this morning, all right? Stay with me. You know that stack of bills that you're like, one day, I'm going to look at that. One day, I'm going to get my income tax stuff together. They gave us an extra month this year. Woo! I can procrastinate a little bit longer. You know what I'm talking about. It's that the stack of stuff we hate. If I'm too busy to take care of the things I have to take care of, I'm just too busy. So I've got to prune my activities from time to time. This is not important. This is not as important. Or I got to do this a different way. Or I need to pay somebody to do this. Or I need to figure out how to fit it in a healthy way. It's addition by subtraction. It's taking something away and making your life even better. The good in our life can sometimes keep us from the best in our life. We keep doing good stuff and we forget that there's something better. We just get in a rut and we keep moving forward. You know, we will all get rid of the things we don't like. That root canal, I'm just going to put that. I don't have time for that right now. That's easy. That's easy to put that one off. But when it's stuff we enjoy, what are we doing with it? Joshua 7:3. I just want to read this one to you. It says this, some of you are keeping things God commanded you to destroy. You will never defeat your enemies until you throw away those things. He's talking about idols. Talking about things that get in front of God. He said, some of you, God told you to get rid of that, and you refuse to get rid of it, and you're wondering why we can't defeat our enemies. What are the idols in my life right now? What are the idols in my life? What are the idols in my schedule? Listen, we got to evaluate or we never get any better. What are the idols in my budget? Is eating out an idol in my budget that makes the rest of my life stressful? I saw somebody smile. Years ago, Jody and I sat down to do a budget, and we spent how much eating out? And it wasn't even memorable. I mean, it wasn't like we went to a fancy steakhouse. We were just eating Popeyes all the time or whatever it was. I mean, it's good, don't get me wrong, but listen, there are better ways. What are the idols in my life? Is TV an idol that takes away time that could give you margin for other areas of your life? Maybe it's time to throw away some stuff. Number six is this, and I think this one's probably the most important one of all. If I want to build margin into my life, I've got to walk with Jesus and learn. Walk with Jesus. Look at what he said. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I'll give you rest. He didn't say, I'll give you more to do. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. There's something to be carried, okay? God didn't just turn you loose from all responsibility. He said, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Wow. Not one time that I know of in the Bible does Jesus get in a hurry. You don't hear Jesus going, come on, let's go. Jesus is not like, get these kids out of here so we can do some work. Jesus is like, bring the kids on over. When Lazarus died, his sisters were upset because he was dying, and they sent word to Jesus. And Jesus just slowly makes his way to the town where they live, and he's just there after Lazarus had died. You and I would have been booking flights and running faster and knocking people down. And Jesus is like, I'll get there when I get there. I can I can heal a dead guy as good as I can heal a live guy. I'll just get there when I get there. God wants to work in our lives. Jesus was not in some hurry all the time. But what if I just live my life like Jesus? What if I said these are the important things in my life? 1 Kings 19. It's not on the screen, but I want to read it to you. It's about the prophet Elijah. It says, go out and stand before me on the mountain, God, the Lord told him. Go out and stand at this cave. And as Elijah stood there, as he stood in the mouth of the cave, the Lord passed by. The Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, and the Lord was not in the wind. The wind just started blowing, knocking rocks off the mountain. And the Bible says the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave, and a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Wind, earthquake, fire, loud busyness. And it says God was not in all of that. But when Elijah heard this still, small whisper, he said, that is the voice of God. And there's a lot of stuff that drowns out the voice of God in your life and mine. Our busyness drowns out the voice of God. We hate silence. We hate downtime. I'm not picking on our cell phones because I'm in this with everybody else. But our cell phones become our go-to. Let me see what's going on. I can't have a minute with God because my phone is calling me without saying a word. God was not in the busyness. God was in that still, small whisper. What if we just decided to take a nap? How long has it been since you took a nap? You said, I'm just going to lay here on the couch and let the dishes stay in the sink. When's the last time you said no to something? When's the last time you ate a sandwich at home instead of going out to eat? When's the last time you said, Netflix will wait? When's the last time you let go of the guilt of all the things that are expected? God speaks to us in the still small voice, in the gentle whisper. He wants to talk to us. He wants a relationship with us. But we got to build in time. Satan is all about keeping us busy. Oh, he doesn't care if you go out and you sin and murder people and sell drugs. And he just wants you to never have time for God. God has a message for us, and we're just like, I just don't have time today, Lord. I got to run out of here. I'll check in with you later. Maybe if I can find time for you, God. We got to build some margin back in our lives. If we choose the margin, it's going to be awkward. If you don't do it, it's going to be awkward to begin with. You're going to be like, what? What am I forgetting? What? I should be doing something instead of just relaxing. God, Jesus said, look, come to me and all you who are weary. Are you weary this morning? You find yourself just tired all the time? If you're carrying a heavy burden, I'll give you rest, he said. I'll give you rest. I like to say it like this. God does not speak to us in an audible voice. I would love it if God would just talk to me and just tell me stuff in an audible voice with a Texas twang so I could just get it. You know, just like say it so I get it. That is not the way God does it. Why? Because I could just be doing everything else I'm doing, and he'd be in the background talking to me, and he's not going to do that. He will never take the background of my life. But when he does want to speak to me, it's usually like this. And we've talked about this before. Hey. It's an intimate relationship. It's just that nudge of the Spirit. I don't feel a nudge when I'm in a crowd and it's hustling and bustling and everything is loud and busy. I don't feel the nudge. But when I take a minute, I build some margin in, the nudge becomes perceptible and I can realize that God is trying to speak something to my heart that will encourage me and build me up and make me more effective for my family, for my neighborhood, for my church. But I gotta listen. How are you gonna do that? Over the next 3 weeks, we're gonna talk about just ways to do this. Just how does the Bible tell us to do this? To make our lives healthier by doing less and spending less. How can I make my life healthier by doing less and spending less? That's what we're going to look at. Now listen, it all starts with a relationship with Jesus. We just said it. I got to walk with him. I got to learn. Jesus was always like just in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's just slow, methodical, just going about life. As a matter of fact, one time he just told him, you guys go ahead, I'll meet you there. He said, you just go. I need some time over here. I need to recuperate. Well, they were on the other side of the sea. They had taken a boat, and Jesus just walks out there. He's like, I'll just catch up with you later. I'm got to have some time. So we got to start with our relationship with Christ. What's going on right now that would keep you from saying, I want to surrender my life to Jesus? There's really nothing. When I surrender to him and I say, Lord, I want you to have your way with my life. I want you to use my life to bring glory to you. I want my life to look different. You start by doing this. You just admit you sin. You believe on Jesus and you confess him out loud as Lord of your life. It's that simple. You start that relationship with God and let him start to work and let him start to take control instead of keeping control for yourself. All right, we're going to pray. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, pray that prayer in your own way this morning. Or if you're just ready to build some margin into your life, just ask for his help right now. Father, we thank you so much for all you've done. God, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you, Lord, that you love us. But God, sometimes we just don't run our lives the way that you've designed us to. We go too fast and too far, and we're not living inside the margins, and life gets unhealthy. And Lord, we can't be effective for our families and our church and for you, Lord, and we want to be. We need your help. We ask for your help starting this journey of building margins in. And Lord, right now we just pray for that person who wants to start a relationship with you, God. That Lord, you would just help them right now just admit their own sins, put their faith in you, believe in you, and confess you as Lord of their life, and just start this journey with you. And God, we thank you and we honor you right now for all you've done and all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him